We're so glad you joined us at Golden Wing Hearts Radio. We are in the studio and we have a blast with these three peeps and giggling all the time. So just bear with us. So we're continuing on in Genesis 2, 4 through 25. And boy, we just need to enjoy our life, you know, because and celebrate the goodness of the Lord. So we're going to continue on with our responsibility and talk about Adam and that first temptation he had with the tree of knowledge.
Yeah, and that the tree of knowledge of good and evil mm-hmm. represented the first temptation. And that we have a responsibility to make our choices to honor God. And so we're going to look at how God provided for Adam's need. Before we read the passage, I wanted to share. So as I was in my class preparing for the different times that we were going to teach this over a week's time, I after having heard it or read it 40 to 50 times, I have no idea exactly how many, but more, it could be more than that even. I was sitting there looking at it, and I was like, wow, because we ask the question, what do I learn about God? And then what do I learn about man, and how does that affect my life? And I was drawing out a sketch, and I'm like, well, I see here God sees Adam's need. Mm. And, you know, it's not good for Adam to be alone. But he doesn't, like, tell Adam, hey, dude, it's not good for you. You know, he actually allows Adam to work the garden and see the need himself. And then that's when God provides for him a woman and takes from him. And so he meets the need. So God sees the need. He allows us to see our need so that we will trust him to meet that need. And so if you could have that in your thoughts as we're going over today's lesson and looking at the passage. And so who hasn't read it yet? Well, now, Genesis 2, 4 through 25.
This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. And the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic, raisin, and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the fields and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." Mm. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame.
Mm, that's so beautiful. So we have to recognize God's creative work in the creation story was not completed until he made woman. Mm. Recognizing that, mm-hmm. it was not completed until he had finished woman. In the, oh, which, what am I, I'm doing right now, the Which one is this?
Life Application.
Life Application Bible. They say, this is really fun what they say. They said, God's creative work was not complete until he had finished woman. God had made her, he could have made her from the dust of the ground as he had made man. God chose, however, to make her from man's flesh and bone. And in doing so, he illustrated for us that in marriage, man and woman symbolically are united into one. Mm-hmm. And this mystical union of the couple's hearts and lives throughout the Bible, God treats this special partnership very seriously. If you are married or planning to be married, are you willing to keep the commitment that makes the two of you one? The goal in marriage should be more than friendship. It should be the spirit of oneness. Mm-hmm. And in Hebrew tradition, this is absolutely beautiful. I think that we need to teach this more. But in Hebrew tradition, they consider the oneness of intimacy of a husband and wife the highest act of worship, because mm-hmm. it's the one time man and woman create life. Mm-hmm. And so if we recognize that, then we will not be making choices that are out there by temptation. Mm-hmm. And so being... I don't know, it's just beautiful and how it is, but God tells us then later on in other places in the Bible that it reveals the mystery of God's relationship with us as his bride. And so guarding that as a husband and wife and remembering that we have to protect that. And so it is also a choice. And so we discussed the fact that the tree is the first temptation that comes, but we could list out a countless thousand other things that can be a temptation that comes into our life. And it could be something as visual as a tree, but if you think about it, there's deep roots, and you literally have to go to at the heart of the issue, at the root, and get it out. You can't just mm-hmm. cut it off at the top. You have to get all the way down into the root and rip it out so that it can't cause issues later on. I love the fact that God saw the need and he said he should not be alone. Mm-hmm. God created us to be in relationship with him. He created Adam and Eve to be in relationship with each other. And there's research out there, this is so fun, you guys, that men who are married are the happiest on the planet. Statistically, that whenever they do these kind of statistical things, the men that are married, even if they would put on the chart not happily married, they rate themselves as happier than a man who is single. Mm. And so I thought that was funny. And they also mark that they're more satisfied. and so it just cracks me up mm-hmm. that, you know, because that's God's gift, and that we recognize that. And so God uses this word, a helper comparable to him. It's kind of, David Guzik refers to it as a blueprint. But here are the different translations of the Bibles, you guys, and how they word it for each translation. Some say helper meet, or M-E-E-T, they use, and that's meant to be, this is the Amplified, suitable, adapted, or completing. Mm. And the Living Bible, a companion is a helper suited to his needs. And the Septuagint, it's a helper correspondent to him. In the NIV and the NASB, they use a helper that is suitable. And in the King James, they use the help meet for him. And so that's kind of cool. It's okay, you guys go. I know we have two that need to go on to get to class. But there's also two verses in the New Testament that use the word help that I'd like for us to look at. So Sandy, would you look up Luke 10:40, and Linnell, you do Romans 8:26. And we're gonna see, these come from the Greek word sun antilambanomai. I've shared this many times on the radio, but there's 17 letters to describe this word, and this word just greatly and powerfully changed my life when I learned its meaning. It means, together with you, whatever is against you, I will come alongside you and assist you. That's a lot to say what help is.
Luke 10:40?
Yeah, it's going to be about Martha and
okay.
Mary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right?
Yes, it is.
And so she's complaining because she didn't come to what? Help, right?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead and read
complaining about Mary. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.
So she's saying,
Bras in there.
Tell her to come alongside me and help me with what is against me, and that I need to take care of feeding you and assist me, is what she's saying.
Yes.
But that's kind of the flesh version of how we could handle the word help. So let's look at the spiritual one.
Romans 8:26. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know, but he knows, and he makes a way, and he provides.
The Holy Spirit, yeah.
Exactly. And so the fact that he provides that helper to come alongside him in the garden to care for all the things in the garden, the little creatures and animals and such. That's kind of fun.
I had a little footnote here that said the rib, and this is like Mesopotamia. Sumerian has a word for rib that means also life.
Right.
And I thought that was great. That's had you mentioned that already and I was dazed off? Okay.
No.
Could happen.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's good. This is so funny. There's a, I wanted to see if I could find, there was a ha-ha. This is Mark Twain. I just thought you guys would enjoy this. Mark Twain had a joke where he described Adam coming home to Eve after naming all the animals. Eve looked at an elephant and said, "What did you name that big animal?" And he said, "Elephant." And Eve said, "Why did you call it elephant?" And Adam said, "Because it looked like an elephant." I mean, just, you know, it was like, he just made up
just
these words.
To me.
Like,
yeah.
It was an elephant. And, I mean, they didn't have words.
Nope, they didn't have
so
words.
So how did he come up with the word elephant?
I don't have a clue. You know what I think? Also in this, it's interesting, it talks about the woman being the helper. But also it talks about we're dependent on each other. It says, man, take care of woman. You know, we need him to take care of us. And it said, but man needs woman also because we give birth to the man. So I thought that was kind of, you're right.
Right.
It's intertwined, yep.
It's the two.
Yeah.
It's when a husband and wife are together that we most represent God.
Absolutely.
And that's why it's the only time two equals one.
Yeah, that's right. That's good.
Yeah. That actually comes from Michaela.
Oh, does
when
it?
When she was little, we were trying to come up with a name for our marriage class. And she goes, "Why not two equals one?" And we were like, wow.
Yeah.
Duh, from the mouth of a babe.
And then you talk about a marriage with Jesus in the middle. I guess you could have two equals three. She's like, oh, my goodness, they've like, gone off the board here.
They've had too much kombucha.
That's coffee.
No, that's tea.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Oh, my goodness, that's funny. They're going to die laughing when they hear this. So helping, and let's do Matthew 20, 25 through 28. If you could read that for us, Linnell. So this, the key is that we have to recognize that just because God says that woman is to be his helper, it doesn't mean that man doesn't help woman. It's
right.
A mutual thing.
Right.
But this is what Matthew says. Jesus says in Matthew, sorry.
Yeah. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many."
Yep. Amen.
Yeah. So that teaches us the value that it goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And she's honoring him, but he is also honoring her. And the saying, I can remember the first time I actually spoke this. And I was sharing it at our church in Houston at a marriage event, and we were talking about how do we submit, and I was explaining to the group, is like, when Greg honors me and lifts me up, I will surrender, submit to anything that he wants
it's
or
two
says.
Two ways, yeah.
Because immediately I want to care for him, I want to serve him, I want to help him. But when Greg gets forceful or adamant or dogmatic on something, that's when the temptation to, you can't tell me to do anything.
Grumble.
You know, kind of thing. And so recognizing how that goes for both, and, yeah. and the same for him as well. And I saw a video recently. I don't know if you guys have seen this one going around, but it's a little child, and I think it's out of Germany. And the little child says, "Can I have that apple?" And the mom says, "No, it's an onion." And the child says, "No, it's not. It's an apple." And the child says, "No." The mom says, "No, it's an onion." The child's like, "It's an apple." And she's like, "Fine." And, I mean, it's toddler age. Mm-hmm. Have it. And the child starts to eat the onion. And it's not an apple. But it's so stubborn that it's not going to let the parent know that it's not an apple. And so this little toddler keeps eating this onion. And the video shows the face and the response to the onion burn. And then the face getting the swelling and the redness and the tears and not being able to breathe while it's chewing. And shows the child trying to eat the onion is not going to let the parent know that it's not an apple.
Oh, okay.
And we can't have that heart.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the
stubbornness.
Whole point. Yeah. That has to get out. Yep. We have to get rid of that because yep. we can't be in relationship when we're stubborn like that. And so being
and he's
willing.
Three.
Yeah. But being willing to say, okay, oh, that's kind of funny because it was an apple.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I'm glad you caught that.
Is there proof that it was an apple?
No, it is not.
No, there's not. It's not actually.
It's a fruit. We don't know what the fruit is. And now that we know that Revelation tells us that there's 12. Mm-hmm. So
it could be a fruit that we don't even know.
Correct. That's right.
That's so cool.
Isn't that amazing?
I'm going to say that it's not an apple because I want it to be a fruit that I don't even know about.
Yeah, because there's so many fruits across the world.
So
you know, we don't know.
We don't even know.
And the tree.
And 12 and every month.
Bearing 12 kinds of fruits every single month.
Wow.
But it's not an apple.
It's not an apple. Yeah, it's definitely not an apple.
Dragon fruit. Star fruit.
I learned that in Arabic for apricot is mishmash.
Mishmash.
Oh, my goodness.
It's mishmash. Maybe.
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 I plucked mishmash when I was in Israel. Well, this is, we've lost it today. Okay, so the point that I'm trying to make is God prepares us.
Yes.
He prepares us.
Okay.
And he prepares for us. Mm. The whole layout of creation was in preparation for us, right down to the littlest of herb that we use to make cough medicine. And to the onion that we use to make soup and the apple that we eat fruit, all of that God prepared in advance for us.
He takes care of us.
Home that he opens up and says, come and dine with me. And I think that's why scripture says, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. When we read the word, that's what happens. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts, and we just thank God for you. God bless.